In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning's Gospel reading is the appointed Gospel reading for the third Sunday of Lent, the veneration of the Holy Cross. It is one of the shortest but most powerful Gospel readings in the lexicon, and it goes like this in part. It begins with Jesus saying, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Famous words, and words that we can never give too much attention to. And there is a promised payoff, if you will, for taking up your cross and following Jesus. He says it at the very end of this very short Gospel reading, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." Take up your cross and follow me. And there are some standing here who will see the kingdom of God come with power. Now, with that as a background, I want to turn something upside down that I had preached about some time back. And if you recall, we had a sermon about orderliness. And the gist of that sermon was that God is a God of order. And we know that. He has ordered creation. There is a plan. There is an obvious system. You don't have to be a cosmologist or a physicist or a biologist to understand the beautiful order that God has placed before us. We are all part of it. And as we said in that sermon, one of the things to do if we're feeling a bit out of sorts, you know, is just straighten up. Straighten up your desk. Straighten up your house. Go through that drawer where you've thrown things when people are coming over for dinner and you've got that drawer full of goodness knows what. Get rid of it. Do something with it. It brings godliness when we have orderliness. But I said I wanted to turn that upside down a bit today and offer this as a thought. When we talk about the cross, when we talk about taking up our cross and following Jesus, and say this, the cross is messy. The cross is messy. And if we think about the act of crucifying someone and all that that entails, we know exactly what that means. There is one of the many Jesus movies made was the one made by Zeffirelli, which I think is one of the best. But in one of the scenes there, they are nailing Jesus to the cross. And you don't see the nails go in, but you see the blood spatter on the Roman soldier. The cross is messy. But we have to get messy if the cross is going to mean anything to our lives. Think even before picking up our own crosses, think about the cross of other people. What was it like for Mary at the foot of the cross with her son hanging on it? Blood dripping, sweat dripping, tears dripping. Forget about her internal mess, if you will, of watching her son hang on the cross. But think about being around this horrible scene. And she was there. She was there, not off at a distance, not standing 10 feet back, not outside of a perimeter, not off and hiding the way the apostles were at the time, except for John, the beloved disciple. She was right there. She was right there. And she experienced not only her own heart being torn out by watching her son on the cross, but experienced the actual pain of her son. It's messy. On the way to the crucifixion, Jesus is carrying his cross, and for he can't go on for a while, so they implore someone named Simon of Cyrene. And it's pretty much all that we really know about him, but what a wonderful thing, isn't it, to be remembered for eternity as the one who helped Jesus. Simon of Cyrene carries Jesus' cross. And think about it, Jesus had been carrying it for a while, he had already been scourged, he was bleeding, and there is Simon of Cyrene picking up this heavy object. It's not finished, I'm sure it's rough-hewn and very uncomfortable. It's covered with the blood and the sweat of another man, and there he is carrying it. But carrying the cross for another person is messy business. But that's how we are supposed to encounter each other in our struggles, right? We're not supposed to stand off at a safe distance. We're not supposed to hide from the pain and struggles of another. We're supposed to be like Mary at the foot of the cross and let some of that blood and sweat and tears drip on us. And that's not the same as having unhealthy boundaries. Heaven forbid, we are supposed to have healthy boundaries. But we can't really love another person unless we engage that person, unless we struggle to understand what their pain is. And helping another person carry his or her cross is not enabling. It's only enabling if we do all the work for them. But every human being at some point in his or her life, as they work through the crosses of their life, whether it's something as a quote-unquote routine, because it happens to everyone, as experiencing illness or the loss of a loved one, or something that's unusual but does happen with some frequency, helping somebody with a struggle with addiction or another chronic illness or sin, we have to carry that cross for another person sometimes. And you can't carry a cross long distance. You can't help another person unless you come up alongside of that person. Walk with them, even for a while, carry their burden till they can carry it again. And as I said, that has nothing to do with enabling another. It has everything to do with helping another person on their path towards the kingdom. And until we've stood at the foot of the cross, until we've carried another person's cross, until we've gotten messy, we really can't say in our lives that we have love or empathy. We can't say that we have love for our neighbor unless we are willing to get messy with that neighbor. Carrying one's own cross is especially messy, and we know that. And those of us who have lived long enough to suffer and to struggle through whatever it is, emotional, psychological, spiritual, physical, we know what a mess that makes us. To actually work through the pain of this life means you're going to sweat. It means you're going to get beat down by the weight of the cross. It means that rough wood is going to leave marks on your own body. But if we don't carry our cross, if we don't do the work, if we don't make the commitment to get messy, we never get better. We just stay the same. And it's way better to get a little bit messy and find salvation than to try to stay clean, but never really get clean our entire lives. Carrying one's own cross means accepting that cross. And the best example of accepting your cross are the two thieves that were on either side of Jesus. One mocks Jesus. The other one says, "Hey, I deserve to be here." But he knew who he was next to. He could see the Lord for who he was. Maybe that's when we see the Lord clearly for who he is, when we are on the cross. And he says, "Lord, remember me. Remember me." And Jesus promises that he will be with him in paradise. There's a payoff. There's a payoff to doing this messy work. First, if we're really going to get serious about carrying our cross and getting sweaty and beat up, well, it means we have to surrender our pride. Because dragging your cross, as Jesus did, takes all of our pride away from us. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Lest anyone kid themselves, our pride is the chief thing that stands in the way of our salvation. What's the chief thing that really keeps us sinning? It's good to be stripped of our pride. When we decide to carry our cross, when we embrace the cross of another and get messy, all pretense is abandoned. The older we get sometimes, the more affected we are. We start to look and act and talk a certain way that's not us. I suppose that's why Jesus wants us to become like little children before we had those pretentious behaviors. Well, if you're dragging your cross down a dirt road and struggling, pretension's gone. You can forget about the clothes that you had tailor-made or the way you decided to start talking or anything else. Pretension is gone. It's you and your cross. And until we do that, until we actually embrace the suffering of another, until we view head-on the struggles of our own lives, whatever they might be, nothing is going to change about our salvation. It just won't. If I stand back and watch another person suffering and try to encourage them from a distance, it does nothing to affect my salvation positively. If I run away and ignore and live in denial of my own struggles, whatever they might be, nothing in my life will ever change. But when I do those things, guess what? It opens my eyes to real life. When I abandon my pride, when I let go of my pretentiousness, when I stand and let another person sweat and bleed on me, I see life for what it really is. And when I see life for what it really is, I do what Jesus wants us to do all along, which is to open our eyes and realize that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's breaking into this world. It's around us right now. So as we prepare this morning, in just a few moments, to take the cross and to process with it around the church, might we reflect on our lives where we are? Are we capable of really standing with another person who is suffering? Are we willing to take up the cross of a person who is struggling? Are we courageous enough to let loose of our pride and our pretension and actually look at our own struggles and do something with them? I hope and pray we are, because that's why we're here. That's why we're Christian. That's why we raise up the cross today, and in a few weeks, that's why we will proclaim Christ is risen. The truth of our faith is this, brothers and sisters. The cross is messy business. But when we embrace it, that act of embracing the cross and carrying it leads us to God's kingdom.